Well, an offensive explosion from the Vancouver Canucks gets them over the New Jersey Devils for the first time, I think, in 12 games that they've beat the New Jersey Devils, which is a crazy stat because it's not like New Jersey has been absolutely fantastic, but it is a really good performance from the Canucks, one where at times they were outplayed, analytically they were outplayed, but overall they felt like they had this game in their grasp. They did not trail at any point. They let the Devils in a little bit, but they put it away and didn't look back in the second period. As always, we'll break this one down. I'll give you my thoughts, and then we'll go to you, the people. We'll hear what you have to say, and that'll be what we do, as always. We'll start with the breakdown. Let me pull up my magic breakdown notes. It's Demko for the Canucks. It is Nico Daws for the New Jersey Devils. And the Canucks strike first pretty quickly in this one. 3.5 minutes in, it is JT Miller. Comes in, realizes he doesn't have much to do, so he makes a nice patient play, doubles back to center ice, and then leaves for Brad Hunt, who has a lot of space, skates down the left wing, and when you take a clapper from 15 feet away from the net at the faceoff dot, if it's well placed, it's unstoppable. He had some mustard on it. It is perfectly placed about 20, 24 inches off of the ice, perfectly above pad height, and it is far post. A great shot from Brad Hunt. He gets his second of the year, and the Canucks have the early lead. JT Miller gets close. Nice little 1-tee from Quinn Hughes, an absolute excellent save by Nico Daws, his highlight of the night. And then Brock Besser makes a perfect pass to Bo Horvat. His shot goes off the glove of Nico Daws about 11 minutes in. And Nils Höglander, as this puck is falling down, never even touches the ice. He just bats it in at about knee height. Beautiful play by Höglander. And the Canucks are up 2-0, 11 minutes into this game. The Devils do get within one with about 3 minutes to play in the first period. It is Graves getting his fifth of the year from Sharon Govich. So it's a 2-1 hockey game going into the second period. But the Devils did tie it after Quinn Hughes made a really nice breakaway pass to JT Miller. The puck bobbles off of his stick and he can't go. And then Jack Hughes gets a breakaway of his own and he scores a beautiful lob pass by Jesper Bratt to Jack Hughes. Sorry, I'm so used to saying Quinn Hughes. He burns Tyler Myers, sort of flubs the shot, but it goes over the pad of Demko and this game is tied up at 2. So things are a little nervy for the Canucks. They've allowed 2 straight goals to the Devils. The Devils are using their speed to their advantage. And then Bo Horvat says, nah, not today. This is my team and this is our game. 8:34 into the second period, Bo Horvat skates in down the left wing. He saw Brad Hunt rip a clapper through Nico Daws and he said, I can do that too. 97 miles an hour skating down the left wing, an absolute rocket. Daws gets a piece of it, but there's just too much heat on it. The captain makes it 3-2. And then 17 seconds later, they score again. And this was so beautiful. So beautiful. Look, I've given Tanner Pearson flack in the past, earlier in the season. He has been really good this year, to be honest. And Tyler Myers, I've also said, has been very good this year, especially at, he's had some games where he's excellent, some where he's not so great. This was so, so sick. Tanner Pearson comes down the right wing and leaves for Tyler Myers, and then he goes to the net. Tyler Myers winds up for the slap shot. Now, keep in mind, get in the mind of the goaltender here. Get in the mind of Nico Daws. Nico Daws has been beat by Brad Hunt on a slap shot that just went right past him. He's been beat by a slap shot from Bo Horvat skating down the left wing that he got a piece of. So he's probably thinking, they're going to be ripping slap shots at me. And as he sees Tyler Myers wind up for the slap shot, he is full blinders up, focused on this shot that is coming from Tyler Myers. And what does Tyler Myers do? He uses that enormous brain of his, the 200 IQ in that brain, and fires a tape-to-tape slap pass to Tanner Pearson all by himself in the crease, wide open net. It is so, so, so beautiful. Love to see it. Canucks are up 4-2 about halfway through this game. It's the second point of the night for JT Miller, who got the second assist on that one. The Devils did get back within one about 3 minutes later, a rebound that Demko couldn't control. Bastion jams at home. And it's a 4-3 game as we go into the third period. Mott takes a 4-minute high sticking penalty, which they kill the first 2 minutes of to end the second period. So we go to the third period. Canucks up by 1 goal shorthanded. The Devils really can take over this one. But keep in mind, third periods have been good for the Canucks lately. They've had a couple games where they've been down going into thirds, and they've brought them back at least close, sometimes winning them. So the Canucks have 2 minutes to kill to start the third period, and Bo Horvat gets a great breakout pass from Quinn Hughes. He streaks into the zone, a quick shot on Gillies. It is so perfectly placed, short side, off the post and in. It's his second of the night, a shorty to make it 5-3 and basically seal the deal. And then with 8 minutes to play, Luke Shen gets a shot that's tipped down by John Pond. Juho Lamico looked a little close to being a high stick on the replay, but they didn't even look at it. Toronto gave him the thumbs up. Wes McCauley said, good enough for me. And we move on. 6-3, the final score. Canucks kill off a late power play for the New Jersey Devils. And that is all she wrote. Six goals for the Vancouver Canucks. I think this is the fifth time this season they've scored six goals in a game. It is really nice when the offense is just pushing out goals. Thatcher Demko had a totally average goaltender game. He allowed 3 goals, which is pretty normal. Expected goals for the Devils were 3.25. So technically, Thatcher Demko was slightly better than expected for an average goalie. So a normal night for Demko, but the Canucks capitalized on some weaker goaltending on the other side in Dawes and Gillies, and made the Devils pay. So my pluses, my minuses, let's get into those. I don't think I wrote enough down, so I might think of more as we go. My first plus is that the Canucks finally beat the Devils. It's been a while. It has been like 12 games, I think it was, as this goes off. It has been, I think, 12 games since they've beat the Devils, but they did it handily this time. They've really struggled against this team, but they get it done. Sometimes that can just be a little bit of a mental block. And a big piece of that in this game, Bo Horvat. Bo Horvat heard all of the talk about, oh, he's not a good enough leader, he's not contributing enough. Well, guess what? He goes out, he scores his 21st and 22nd of the night on like a 30-goal pace, slightly below that, but pretty close, like a 27, 28-goal pace, which you'd be totally fine with in a second-line center. And just two excellent goals, both just hard shots, perfectly placed shots. Can't complain too much about that. True captain's game from Bo Horvat. 3-point night, which we love to see. Speaking of 3-point nights, JT Miller, again. I don't know where this guy finds so many points from, but he just keeps racking them up. JT Miller could have scored 3 goals tonight. He could have. He had some grade A chances that just didn't work out for him. He had a breakaway. He had a puck in the crease that he couldn't jam home. JT Miller could have had a bunch going tonight. But he gets 3 assists anyways. So he is up to 73 points on the season in his 59 games that he played. Just so you know, if you do a little bit of math and you go 73 times 82 divided by 59, which is how many games JT Miller has played this year, 101 point pace for JT Miller. Not too shabby. 27 points in JT Miller's last 13 games. Over 2 points a game on this point streak. He's unstoppable. He is absolutely unstoppable right now. And again, you can look at it and be like, okay, two of those assists were secondary assists. But sometimes when things are working for you, things will just keep working for you. Again, he didn't really have a part in two of those goals. The Brad Hunt one he did. He made a nice play to set that up. But the Pearson goal he didn't really have much of a part of. The Horvat goal he didn't have much of a part of. But he gets credit for the assists anyways, and he's just racking up those points. Nils Höglander gets a plus from me. Höglander's been struggling a lot lately. You can look at, you know, the fact that he only had 9 goals coming into tonight on the season. He's definitely had a bit of a sophomore slump. He has just been struggling overall. He hasn't looked super great under Bruce Boudreau. Not terrible, but replaceable is, I think, the word I would use. And then people, you know, are going on Twitter and lots of the and showing analytics of the impact that Nils Höglander has on the ice. And they're net positive, typically, with Höglander out there. And it seems to just be a lot of bad luck is sort of the underlying case. And I think that's fair. He just hasn't been able to convert a lot this year. But he gets one tonight. He gets on the board. He gets his 10th of the season. It was a nice goal. Just sort of batted it out of the air. He was playing pretty well with Horvat and Besser tonight at times. And whoever he ended up with at different times of the game. Höglander, I think, had a pretty good night. Gets a goal, which we love to see. So good for him. And my last plus that I have on my list, actually, I do want to give one to Tanner Pearson because I think he's been very good. He gets a 2-point night as well. Brad Hunt pitching in the scoring is great. The penalty kill is a big one. Elias Pettersson out of the lineup, and he's been killing some penalties occasionally. So maybe not the biggest deal, but you don't expect to score many shorthanded goals with Elias Pettersson out there. But the Canucks penalty kill goes 3 for 3 on the night, because I think there was just the two penalties, the double minor and then the one late. So the penalty kill technically goes 3 for 3 with a shorthanded goal. It's better than perfect. It is better than perfect on the night. The power play didn't convert. They didn't get a shot either, but it was third period. They were up by two. It wasn't super crucial that they get a lot of chances. Either way, penalty kill was very, very, very good in this game. On to the minuses, though. There were some negatives in this game. And the first one is that the Canucks were analytically outplayed. And again, analytics don't tell the whole story. They're a nice little extra piece of information to look at that tells a bit of an extra story. I mean, the most basic analytic is shots on goal, right? Shots on goal, 35-31 in favor of the Devils. Obviously, that doesn't tell the whole story. We look at things like expected goals, which is a metric I like to look at. At 5-on-5, the Canucks were expected to have 44% of the goal share. So pretty even, a little bit of an edge to the Devils. But in all situations, which again, keep in mind, the Devils had more power plays. Expected goals were 3.25 for the Devils, 2.3 for the Canucks. So they really outscored what they were expected to. And that makes a lot of sense, right? You look at the goals the Canucks score. Brad Hunt, a slap shot from down the wing, not a super high percentage play. Same with Bo Horvat. Both of his goals were from pretty far away from the net. So I think that's pretty fair. High danger chances, 15-10 in favor of the Devils. Corsi, so just shot attempts, 60-51 in favor of the Devils. Basically, every single analytical metric you look at, the Devils were slightly better, but the Canucks scored more goals. And that's really what matters in hockey. So a game where the Canucks were a bit outplayed, especially mainly in the third period, but they got the job done. And that's the main key. Other minuses for this game was the Canucks clearly struggled with New Jersey's speed. And it was really one line, right? It is that Jack Hughes line with Bratt and whoever they were out there with. I think they might have been out with Sharon Govich at times or Bastion at times. Jack Hughes is fast, and the Canucks struggle with that. You think about who the Canucks defenders are, right? Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Tyler Myers, Brad Hunt, Luke Shen. Who's the other one? There's Quinn Hughes, obviously. Who am I missing? I don't even know. I'm drawing a blank. They're not fast, though, is what I'm trying to say. The Canucks D doesn't have a lot of foot speed, and the Devils were able to exploit that at times. Jack Hughes looked dangerous out there, and he had an excellent hockey game. I think, how many points does Jack Hughes have this year? Jack Hughes has 44 points in 39 games this year. He's on pace for like 85 points. That's like 90 point pace. He's playing really, really well. That speed was a problem for the Canucks tonight. My last minus, the Rogers Arena ice has been notoriously complained about by players in the past. And I think you saw that a little bit just for JT Miller tonight. He just couldn't seem to settle the puck down onto his stick, which is unfortunate because I think he could have had a goal or two tonight in this one. But either way, pretty good night for the Canucks. I do want to spend a little bit of time here touching on the out-of-town scoreboard for the Vancouver Canucks. That is crucial. You know, there's about 20-something games left in the season. Scoreboard watch season is here. The Canucks get their 2 points. That's all they could do tonight. You look at other things around the league. The Dallas Stars, who are maybe in that push for one of the wild card spots, they get shut out by the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is great for the Canucks. The Anaheim Ducks lose in overtime to the Rangers. Not ideal. They do get a point, but it's only 1 point. So that's not a terrible result. The Predators beat the Penguins. That's not ideal for the Canucks. Winnipeg, 7-3 over the Vegas Golden Knights. Winnipeg, the Canucks need to stay ahead of Winnipeg, but they should do that if they're in the race at all. Winnipeg's kind of out of it. I think they had a 9% chance of making it coming into today. Vegas is catchable now. Vegas has went 0-5 on this road trip. It's the first time they have lost 5 games in a row in regulation in their history. So they are just falling off the face of the planet. They don't have a goalie, right? That's a problem. Leonard's out. Who was their goalie tonight? Their goalie tonight was... Logan Thompson and Laurent Brossoit, and they allowed, they allowed 7 goals on 23 shots. Vegas doesn't have goaltending, and it is killing them. So, and then Edmonton beat Detroit 7-5 tonight, which is a negative result for the Canucks, but they did allow 5 goals to Detroit, and that's kind of a positive. So the out-of-town scoreboard, a pretty even night. Couple wins for the Canucks, couple losses for the Canucks, but the big thing is the Canucks get their 2 points, which is all they can do, and all the destiny that they can control. And we go into, the Canucks now have 3 games left. 3 games left before the trade deadline, which by all everything we're hearing looks like it might be a pretty slow deadline day, because apparently sellers are asking for too much and buyers don't want to pay very much. So we'll see what happens there. But basically 3 more games to determine the fate of what happens to this team at the deadline. They get the Red Wings Thursday, which they should be a beatable team, although they did put up 5 on the Oilers tonight. They got the Flames, which will be a tough game, and they got the Sabres on Sunday. All right, that's enough of me talking, I say, as I'm going to read your comments, and it'll still be me talking. But now I will take any questions, and I will try my very best to answer them. Let me just get set up here. All right, scrolling up to the top. Let's see here. Blitz saying 1 point back of the final wild card, and I didn't even look at this. I just talked about out-of-town scoreboard. I didn't look at standings. Have they updated yet? Looks like they have, because they have the Canucks at 61. I think that's how many games they've played now. So the Vancouver Canucks are 1 point back of Vegas, which is so crazy. So Vegas holds right now that second wild card spot, 68 points in 62 games. Canucks are 1 point back with the game in hand. The Canucks are ahead of Vegas now in points percentage, which is absurd, because 3 months ago, that was the craziest pipe dream of all time. Dallas right now by points percentage should have that second wild card spot. They have 3 games in hand over the Canucks with the same amount of games, or with 3 less games played, 3 games in hand, same amount of points. But for the Canucks here, their target line should be top 3 in the Pacific. That's going to be the easiest way to get in, because then you don't have to worry about what the Central's doing. And right now they are 3 points back of the Edmonton Oilers. The Oilers have a game in hand. So unfortunately, the Oilers get a win tonight, but the Canucks do play the Oilers, I think, one more time this year, the very last game of the season, so maybe that might be enough to swing it. But yeah, standings watch is getting interesting. Jog Paul asking, why no Canucks after dark yesterday? It will be tomorrow. I had a hockey game yesterday, so I was busy. Also, this is way bigger than normal. Let me adjust it. Perfect. It will be tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Let's see here. Chris Lee giving a shout to Hoglander, saying he was absolutely flying out there today. I agree. Hoglander was very, very, very good. And Kai saying very similar things, saying huge win. I really liked Hoglander's game tonight. He seemed to be everywhere. Myers also made a beautiful pass. But I thought him and especially Oliver Ekman-Larsson struggled defensively a bit tonight. I think that's fair. Oliver Ekman-Larsson didn't have a great game defensively. I guess just in general, because his main role is defense. And I think Myers is in a similar boat. I think Myers made up for it with that pass. That's worth it to me. If he plays decent or not very good defensively, but makes a sick play like that, that's the chaos factor, which is just fun at this point. Hoglander was very good. How many minutes did Hoglander get? I am curious. Where's my game center here? Game center, team stats, Vancouver Canucks. Hoglander played 13 minutes. Hey, that's pretty good for him, considering he was at like 7.5 a few nights ago. Pod Colson had 8.58. Patan was the team low at 8.18, which makes sense. His first game with the squad. Let's scroll a bit here. Blitz saying this is now officially a Tanner Pearson fan club. Let's do it. Let's go. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Look, Tanner Pearson has been really good, like really solid this year, right? We're talking about a guy who has 30 points now, right? Did he get to 30, 31 points this year? Or if this is included, otherwise at 29. He scored his 13th, so it hasn't updated. He's has 31 points this year, making $3.25 million. That's pretty good. I was worried about the 3 years. This first one of this contract has gone pretty well, I think is safe to say. He is very well outpacing last season. Last season, he had 18 points in 51 games. This season, he has 29 points in 56 games, and he's really picked it up over the last few weeks here for sure. Jaskrin saying when Hughes outskated Myers, I knew the puck was going in. What do you think of that play? Yeah, I mean, I don't blame Tyler Myers all that much. He got burned by one of the better skaters in the league, Jack Hughes. Myers is not known to be a fast skater. We know that. And it's tough when your entire defense is built on guys that don't skate very well, except for one. So I'm not too worried about it. Let's see here. Fun Q saying, did Parker say Myers IQ and a 3-digit number in the same sentence? I did. Did you see that pass? That pass was sick. That pass was sick. Mark is saying, who do you think had a better debut, Sheldon Rempel or Nick Petan? I didn't really watch the last game. I'll be entirely honest. I went to bed pretty early. Although I watched like bits and pieces. I didn't really notice either of them though in the time that I did watch. I've really liked what I've seen from Rempel at like the two AHL games I've watched this year. I don't think it translated excellently, but again, it's his first, you know, first game. Nick Petan was fine. He was in a few battles in the corners that I noticed, but other than that, he was pretty invisible, which isn't a terrible thing, right? They're just fill-ins. They're trying to fill Elias Pettersson's slot, which is a tough thing to do. So I think both of them did fine. Nothing special. Let's see here. Debut Hunter saying Bo has been on fire lately, or Bo has been fire lately. Yeah, Bo has been so good lately. I think he has 9 points in his last 5 games, if I remember correctly. He's got that clutch gene, you know. He'll have times where he's not very useful, like he's just not very productive for a stretch of games. He's a bit streaky in that way. And then when his team needs him to, whether it's a playoff series, like the one against St. Louis, or it's a playoff push like it is right now, or you go back to when he scored that goal with like 0.1 seconds left to win the junior title, he's got that clutch gene. And I think he lives off of putting the team on his back when they need him to. He's been very, very good over the last 2 weeks or so, which we love to see. Let's see here. Jaskrin saying, if you had to name a captain now, so this is assuming that Horvat was never named captain, I guess, including, and if Miller gets an extension, who would you name as the captain? I think, I don't know. I'd probably be pretty split on Miller and Horvat. It's really tough to say. You know, Horvat was always groomed as the captain, from day one. And sure, he's a little bit quieter in like the media and stuff, but he seems to be a perfect person, right? Like name one bad thing about Bo Horvat. He's got the head shape. He's just seems to be an excellent guy. And Miller's the vocal one, and that's totally chill. You're totally allowed to have the quieter, guy in the room who leads by example a bit and maybe, you know, rallies the team up internally, not too much on the external side. And then you have Miller, who's a lot more vocal and emotional, I think it's fair to say, in a good way. I wouldn't complain with either of them, and it doesn't matter. One is the C, one is the A. They can both be leaders. This is such a good problem to have. It's such a good problem to have too many leaders, in the dressing room. Right. So I'm not too worried. Scout has booked field trips to Dallas, Vegas, and Phoenix in the next few weeks to watch the Canucks play. Nice. That'll be fun. I did that a couple years ago through California. I did LA, Anaheim, and San Jose, and that was pretty fun. Except, man, Anaheim sucks as a town. I was in Anaheim like 4 days ago, but man, Anaheim sucks, except for Disneyland. The rest of Anaheim is just nothing. It's just nothing. What else do we got here? Let's see here. Davey Hunter saying, oh, without Elias out there and with Mott in the box. I didn't even mention that. Yeah, the penalty kill with Tyler Mott in the box for 4 of those 6 minutes. That's really, really good. They pulled that out. Christian, I forgot about Hamonic. Yeah, when I listed all of the defensemen and I completely forgot about Travis Hamonic. Whoops. The elder says Myers was a slug on Jack Hughes' goal, but wow, nice pass to Pearson. Look, you put any of us out there with Jack Hughes skating past us, and he is blowing by us. What can you do, right? Like, genuinely, what are you supposed to do in that situation? You try to get in the guy's way, but when he's that good of a skater, he'll just walk around you, make you look silly anyways. Jaskaran also saying, I'm happy Jack Hughes is doing great. He received way too much criticism in his rookie season. I fully agree. I think people are really quick to jump on rookies. It's because they get so hyped up, right? Especially guys who are going to go first overall, right? Alex Lafreniere is a great example of this right now, and Jack Hughes was an excellent one as well. Where they light it up in junior or in college or wherever they're playing, and you're like, okay, this guy's going to be a star. And then he comes in, and Jack Hughes, for example, put up 20 points basically in his first year. People are like, oh, that's not what we were promised. And then the next year, 30 points in 56 games, quite a bit better, 50% more production. And now this year, he is just unstoppable, which you love to see it. Especially, he's not in the Canucks conference. He's not a rival. You like to see good players be good. It's good for the league. What else do we have? Duffman says that Vegas deserves to suffer more. Agreed. Jogwell saying that's what they get for kicking Fleury to the curb. True. Fleury, Marc-Andre Fleury. Fleury, let's go to his stats. I want to see this man's stats right now. Marc-Andre Fleury has a 909 this year, which isn't great, but keep in mind, he's playing in front of that Chicago defense, which isn't that great. We're talking about a goaltender who's making $7 million this year, who literally, didn't he win the Vezina last year? Yeah, he won the Vezina last year, right? With a 928 save percentage. Could you imagine if he was still on this Vegas team? They'd be top of the division, probably. But the problem is, Leonard struggled for a bit, then he got hurt, and now they have Logan Thompson and Laurent Boissois, whose name I still can't say, and they're just collapsing. They are just collapsing, and it's beautiful. It is beautiful. I think we can all agree on that. Let's see here. Kai is saying that JT Miller is now tied for sixth in league scoring. Isn't that crazy? Isn't it crazy to have a guy that high up on the standings there? He's got 73 points. He's tied with, I think, Kaprizov. Let me pull this up here. Oh no, I'm on the Canucks stats. Gross. I don't even know how to get out of this loop that I'm in. Stats by player. Sort by points. JT Miller, 73 points. He's tied with Kaprizov and Kadri. That's crazy. That's so unreal. He's 4 points behind Austin Matthews, which is absurd. And he's going to be a top, whether he's top 10 or top, even if he's a top 20 scorer by the end of the year, which if he'd have to fall off quite hard. What a season he's had. He's been so, so, so good. Jaskaran with a good quote from Sutter saying playing Colorado in the first round would be a waste of 8 days. I love it when NHL people in general, whether it's coaches or players, are smart enough to say things like that. Like, he knows how good Colorado is. For the Flames, I think the Flames would be one of the harder matchups for Colorado. Maybe I'm just not basing that on anything smart. But you look at some of the other teams, like the Flames are very stout defensively, right? They have the fewest goals against in the league. No, the Hurricanes do. They have the second fewest goals against in the league, though, by four. And they have, they score a decent amount, too. They score almost, 3.5 goals a game. They'd be a really tough matchup for Colorado, I would think, who's a lot more high-flying offensively. That would be a fun series to watch, although I would definitely be rooting for Colorado. BL Tubes, with a Martin call-up looking unlikely, would you give Halak the Calgary game to get a better shot of split this weekend? Oh, we have to do this again, don't we? Okay, maybe we'll talk about this more on Thursday. But man, I hate this. The which goalie do you start in which game? Saturday, Hockey Night in Canada against Calgary. And then Sunday against Buffalo. You have to win that Buffalo game because it's a bad team. And that Flames game, you are likely to lose anyways because the Flames are a better team than you. So do you say we put Demko in the first game because we want to give ourselves a chance to win that one, and then Halak can handle Buffalo, and then you risk losing both or winning both, and it's kind of panic. I don't know. Usually you give the good goalie the first game, the bad goalie the second game. Tampa Bay did the opposite this last little bit here. They gave Vasilevskiy to the Canucks, and it worked really well for them because Vasilevskiy won them that game on Sunday. I don't know. I just don't want to say. I'm scared of Halak playing. When's the last time he played? Was it the... How many... It was what, like the 28th of February? The last time they played against the Devils? They lost that game 7-2. I don't know. I don't want to see Halak in there, but I know he has to play one. So it is a really odd, tricky scenario. Fun Q, did you win your playoff game? No. We lost 4-2. I scored both of our goals. And that was it. I tried my best. But we have one more playoff game on Saturday. And if we win that, we keep playing. So we'll see. Fangirl, I think Brad Hunt is overrated. I don't think he's rated at all. I don't think he's overrated. I think most people say he shouldn't be on power play two. And he is a fine offensive focused defenseman, like a number six, number seven. Everyone sort of has him as number seven. Right now he's filling in. And he's doing fine. He's fine. Symphonia says, glad we won, but the D-Corps looked like they had a lot of trouble keeping up with the Devil's speed. We really use some smooth skating D-men that can defend. Yep, that is true. Problem is, you got to give to get. Every single team in the league wants smooth skating D-men that can defend. The Canucks have one of them. The Canucks have one of the best ones, right? Not the best, but one of, for sure. And it is tough to get more of them. But yeah, the Devils are a fast team, or they have a fast line. And if you can get burned by speed that easily... it's tough. The Elder Leafs played a rookie goalie and got a shutout versus Dallas. We needed them to lose. It's interesting. You say them to lose. They wanted Dallas to lose. Although it would have been funny if Toronto lost and then they needed to trade for Halak or something. But yeah, it's good that the Stars lost. Very, very good that the Stars lost. Let's see here. I'm trying to find some more questions. What else do we got? I want to see if there's any longer ones before we wrap up here. King Kenny saying, if the Canucks can get 5 to 6 out of 8 of the possible points, the Canucks can be in a playoff spot. So there's only 3 games left before the deadline. So if they can get, let's do some imagining and say they beat Detroit and Buffalo. Cause to me, I feel like the most likely outcome is the Canucks get 4 of the next 6 points beating Detroit and Buffalo, right? That seems to be the most likely scenario. That would put them at 71 points and likely on the edge of a playoff spot, right? Vegas only plays 2 more games before then. They have Vegas's schedule, folks, is not a walk in the park. The Vegas's next 5 games, they have Florida, then they have LA, then they have Minnesota. So 3 good teams, 3 playoff teams. Minnesota's falling off the wagon a little bit right now, but Florida is excellent. LA has solidified their spot as second in the division pretty well. They have Minnesota. Then they have Winnipeg and Nashville, who are, you know, pretty solid teams as well. You know, Jets are on the outside looking in. Predators are in a playoff spot. And then they get the Blackhawks and the Kraken, and then they get 2 games against the Canucks. But if we're talking about what the situation is going to be by the trade deadline, Vegas plays Florida and LA. There is a real chance they get 0 points before the trade deadline, and they are stuck at the 68 mark. There is a real chance the Canucks are at 71 points at that point and in a playoff spot. And so you say natural buyers. Natural buyers is a little tricky because when you're in like the second wildcard spot, I wouldn't say you're really a natural buyer. But it is a lot easier to buy from a playoff spot than from not in one. I don't think they're buying. I don't think anyone's buying. to be honest. I think it's going to be a snoozer of a trade deadline from everything we've heard. Unless they can get a cheap depth piece, which, again, I don't know why they would really in this scenario, because I don't think that's going to be what puts them over the edge to win a Stanley Cup or anything. But, man, the Canucks can make it interesting. That is for sure. Jaden saying that JT has the most points in the league since February 12th. Well, yeah, that's his point streak. That'll happen with a lot of players when they're on active point streaks, on a long point streak. They'll have the most points in the league for that time, and that's fair. But I mean, the fact that he's averaging over 2 points a game over that span, right? 27 points in his last 13 games is a pretty good number. Let's see here. What else do we got? Edmund saying, do you think Pettersson's injury is his wrist? I do. It was pretty clear when it happened in the game, when he shook his wrist, and then the fact that he went to the bench and then he missed the next game. It's pretty obvious. Boudreau seems really adamant that this is a true day-to-day. And I like that he specified that, because day-to-day doesn't mean anything in the NHL. But he said, no, this one's actually day-to-day in theory. Hopefully he's right. They said they're hoping to have him back for Thursday's tilt, which would be very nice for the Canucks, you know, going up against the Red Wings. The Red Wings can score, you know, so it'd be nice to get some goals for the Canucks here. And hopefully he's back in the lineup on Thursday, but also hopefully he doesn't overdo it and injure it further. That's the fear. Callum, just straight up, do you think the Canucks will make the playoffs? I'm so torn on it. Most models will have the Canucks probably after tonight around maybe like the 30% mark. Where were the Canucks coming into this game? I have it bookmarked here from The Athletic, at least. Canucks were at 20% coming in. Out-of-town scoreboard went well, and the Canucks won this game, which they were favored to win. So they might be at like 25% on The Athletic. Money Puck has them, this updated 2 hours ago, so it won't include the Canucks game. They have them at 18.4, so they'll probably go up to about 23-24% on that side. It says if they win their next game in regulation, it goes up to 22, and then some of the other losses, yeah, like 23%, let's say, on the Money Puck side. However, obviously the Canucks have been a lot better over the last 3 months, right? They have been one of the top teams in the NHL over the last 3 months since Boudreau joined. They've had some ups and downs. They've had some runs. The Canucks are going to need to continue to play very well, and they're going to need to keep winning 2/3 of their games, right? It really comes down to that, or at least getting 2/3 out of the points, right? They need to keep converting at like a 667 clip. I think it is very doable. I think it is also very possible that they don't do it. I am pretty 50-50 on it. Let's see here. Elder talking about Sutter, saying Sutter's coming back. I don't think Sutter's coming back. He skated today, which doesn't mean all that much. It's good. It is good progress. It doesn't mean he's a week away, right? He could be 4 weeks away. He could be 16 weeks away, right? We don't know. But I wouldn't get I had the wrong comment up there. I wouldn't be too sure on it being Sutter, on Sutter coming back. Debut wants a straight up prediction. Where do we finish? Third, in the Pacific, wild card, just missing. If I had to put money on it, if I had even odds on whatever I picked, if I was putting money down, I would bet on the missing. If I had even odds, if I had 4-1 odds on the Canucks making the playoffs, assuming they have a 25% chance of making it, then I'd be putting my money on them making the playoffs. Cause I think that would be good odds. I don't know what sports books have it at. I'm actually quite curious. I don't know if Bodog allows me, not a sponsor, by the way. So don't give them your money unless they pay me. I wonder if I can see, can I go Oh man, this their website is not working very well right now. Can I do like futures? Can I say Canucks to make the playoffs? Is that a thing? Player awards? No, it's just all player awards and stuff. Yeah. I I'd have to have good odds to say they're making the playoffs. Hulk Logan says, do you think Winnipeg gets a wild card? I don't. I think they're falling a little too far out of it. Gus says, do you think we should re-sign Sutter since the last year of his contract? I think Sutter's going to be a PTO guy next year. If he's back, if Sutter is ready to come back next year, I think he's going to get a PTO. Cause I think it's so uncertain after missing basically literally an entire season, from long COVID symptoms. I think, yeah, he'll have to go on a PTO or something. And then if he's fine, then sure, you can probably go vet minimum, right? Jaskrent says, do you think Rathbone will play this season? I don't know. I think if the Canucks really need an influx of offense, maybe, or if someone else gets hurt, I think he's probably the first guy up. But man, he is continuing to light it up in the AHL. He's got a point streak going. He gets hurt for, 3 weeks, comes back, gets another goal. Rathbone has been so, so good in the AHL. And I think it is worth leaving him down there to continue to rack up points and to be a star basically in the AHL. Cause he's young, right? And then come to the NHL, late this year as a playoff addition, as sort of a black ace for the Canucks, if they're close. I think he could get a couple games late, if needed. And with that, we're going to wrap up, folks. That's it. We're going to wrap up there. Make sure you're subscribed, by the way. And tomorrow night, Canucks After Dark on the Canucks After Dark YouTube channel. It's linked down below. While you guys are here, if you could go over, there's how many of you guys are here? Oh my goodness, I'm on the wrong pages. There's like 190 people in here, which is awesome. Thank you guys very much for joining me. Make sure you're subscribed. That would be very big for me. Make sure you hit like. And make sure you go subscribe to the podcast version of this. Maybe listen to one of them would help me a bit. And leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because that's sort of the biggest sort of push that I can get on that side. And I would really appreciate it. There was one that came through from JFK who gave us a 5-star review a couple weeks ago, which I really appreciate. I hope you guys all have a great night. I will be back, like I said, for Thursday's game, which will be a fun one. And I will talk to you all next time.